guys. Welcome back to the Haunted Cafe, episode 6.
Ooh, 6.
We're in a little bit of a different sitting situation.
Yeah, we're trying out the sofa to see how that does. So that way we're not hurting our buttocks and our feet on the tall chairs we got. So
yeah, so if it sounds a little different or, you know, we sound a little bit farther away, that's why.
Yeah.
And, you know, I realized that we never, like, introduced ourselves. Like, we have our name in, like, the description, I guess, of the podcast.
Really?
But we never actually, like, introduced ourselves. I don't think so, anyway.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So. Well,
do you want it?
Yeah. So, I'm Amber.
And I'm Alan.
Yeah.
We are AA Battery, and this is...
And this is the Haunted Cafe podcast.
Yeah.
That runs on those AA batteries.
Well, actually, this one is like the little tiny like laser light batteries. Oh. There's no AA or AAA. It's those little laser light batteries.
I meant us, but...
Oh, okay. That's what you meant.
Yeah. Because we're the reason why the podcast's going.
We could have complete silence at the podcast and just do ASMR. We don't even need to be here. We could just record the sounds outside.
Is it ASMR if there's like no sound whatsoever?
Yeah, it's called silence ASMR.
Really?
I believe so, yeah.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. So if you hear that, we're literally right below the dog. So if you hear our neighbors upstairs, it's because I do believe they just got home, so you might hear a little bit of noise. Yep. So.
So if you hear puppers barking, that's why.
Yep.
So for tea today, we don't really have any tea going on right now. Yeah. It's actually 5:30 at night.
Yeah.
So.
It's not in the morning like it usually is. We're doing this a little late.
Yeah. So right now we're just both drinking lemon water, which I guess that kind of constitutes as tea.
It's not tea really without the herbs.
Yeah.
It's lemon tea without the herb.
Yeah. But just in case you didn't read the title of this episode today, we're going to be talking about Bigfoot Part 2. Yep. So there's so many different like stories and like ways of thinking about Bigfoot I had to put it in two parts. So, and this part is honestly going to be a very long part. I think I have like 20 pages.
This is going to be a long podcast, guys. You better get your popcorn. You better get in your jammies since it's 5:30 at night. Your lemon water. Or tea or hot chocolate, whatever.
Yeah, by the time we listen to this, it'll probably be like 6:30 by the time you guys get to it. So, yeah. Get comfy.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to start this episode with a Reddit user's story. I had advertised the part one of the Bigfoot story on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy got back to me and he was like, oh, I have my own story. So, I'm going to read it now.
Congrats, guy. You're on a podcast.
Yeah. I asked permission, too. And he was like, yeah. Nice. So, his name is White Owl, 509. He wrote...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's kind of loud. Anyway, so White Owl 509 wrote, my three friends and I were winter camping in the Takana. I knew I should have looked stuff up, but I forgot again. Takana Forest of Washington State. We were the only souls out that night. It began to snow and rain a little, so we took shelter. After it had stopped, we heard what I can only describe as loud, rhythmic drums. It started at the top of the canyon and made its way down until it sounded as if it was right outside our shelter.
Wow.
We piled out of the shelter with our firearms, and it stopped. Dead silence followed by a musty skunk smell. No one slept that night. He says, I've heard Bigfoot tree knocking and the smells that follow them, and that's what makes me speculate that it could have been Bigfoot.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, I know that, like, I think Wendigos, I didn't do too much research on them, but I know that they're known for, like, really musty smells and stuff like that, too. So, that also could be what that was.
Maybe.
Yeah. Plus, Washington State is also known very well for, like, Native Americans. Like, I think even in the previous episode, we talked about, like, Native American, like, and their, like, touch with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So... it could even be, like, Native American ghosts or something, you know.
Yeah. It could have been someone messing with them, too. Like, you know, it's people love messing with people. I mean, we learned that from the Treasure Island episode. So, people just messing with people constantly.
Yeah, absolutely. So. But, So that's that story. Thank you so much for letting us share that. We really appreciate it.
We appreciate your kindness of the story and the whatnot.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to get more, like, listener tales.
Yeah.
On here, because that's, I would love to do, like, other people's stories.
Yeah, if you're not following any of the social media pages, make sure you check out TikTok. Well, you said you got an Instagram.
We got TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. We got YouTube, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And anywhere that you can write a comment down below, or, you know, to send us your story.
Do it.
Yeah.
And we will mention you and your story in. We might, if your story is long enough, we can make it an entire episode. So that's always good.
Yeah. And also, this Reddit user, he has a YouTube channel. I know I don't have to plug it or anything. Yeah, but well. I believe that the YouTube channel is called Rattlesnake Coalition. Hmm. And he does a lot of, like, gun stuff. So if you're definitely interested in that, go check it out.
Nice.
All right. So let's get on to the rest of the episode.
Yes.
So this episode may be broken up into different sources. Since we are more so talking about people's, like, research rather than a story or a timeline of events, I wanted to break each section down by either each site I found or by the research itself or the person who's researching it. So the first researcher I wanted to talk about was a man named John Eric Bechtjord. It's B-E-C-K. J-O-R-D. Bechtjord.
It's probably Bechtjord and the J is a silent.
Silent. I'm not good at, like, pronunciating stuff.
Yeah, it's probably Bechtjord.
Yeah, maybe. So a little bit about John, and that's all I'm going to call him from now on, because I can pronounce that.
You sure that... it's not Joan? No.
It's actually J-O-N. Now you got me, like, questioning.
Oh, well, so, yeah, it's so John. Now I want to be Joan. Or, yeah. Because it would be an E. It's John.
Alan's making me all nervous now. Anyway, I'm gonna call you John. He was an American paranormal investigator, photographer, and a cryptozoologist. So basically, like, the study of spooky creatures.
Hmm.
Who was interested in phenomena such as UFOs, crop circles, the Loch Ness Monster, and Bigfoot especially. So he was kind of like an all-around guy. Yeah.
He's almost like that dude that's on the History Channel with the really messy hair that has, like, the meme aliens. Yeah. He's like that guy.
Yeah, because he was doing Bigfoot stuff too, right?
Yeah, he was. His episodes or his documentaries could literally be broken down into seasons. Like, one season would be Bigfoot season, the other one would be Alien season, the other one would be Atlantic City season, the other one would be
Atlantic
the Loch Ness.
City?
Yeah, the Lost City of Atlantis, sorry.
Atlantic City.
The Lost City of Atlantis season. And then another one would be, like, the Loch Ness Monster, which I think he's currently doing on YouTube right now. He's seasonal.
Okay. So, excuse me, I burped. During his career, he owned three separate small-scale museums that featured displays, mostly photos of possible UFOs, Nessies, and Bigfoot sightings. Okay, sorry about that. We had missing packages, so the neighbor came to see if we had seen anything, but it's all good now. So, we're gonna jump back in. John became interested in Bigfoot after reading an article in a...
Flip the page.
Newspaper about the alleged sightings of the creature on an expedition. Oh, shoot. I forgot a period. But yeah, so he was, you know, he read a newspaper and about the sightings, and he just became fascinated at that point.
Aliens.
Yeah, no, Bigfoot right yeah, now.
Bigfoot.
For right now. On an expedition to see whether or not the stories were true, he claimed to see what he thought was a Bigfoot crossing the road in front of him, almost 200 feet away. He later tried to come back with his camera to capture any evidence, but he was unable to find anything. Hmm. And after that, John was convinced of their existence. So it was basically like the newspaper got him, like, interested, and then supposedly seeing this Bigfoot sent him into, like, overdrive.
I find it really convenient how, like, people who think about Bigfoot or are, like, doing research on Bigfoot, just happened to come across Bigfoot at some point in time afterwards. You know what I mean?
I did. That was something I was going to say too. But at the same time, I know that there is a phenomena where it was like, if you think about something
you'll see
so much, you start actually like seeing it, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just for the job you want, not the job you have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like that kind of thing where it's like, you know.
Yeah.
He also claimed to see Bigfoot standing 6 feet tall. And I think it's the same Bigfoot or another one. He also claimed to see Bigfoot standing 6 feet tall and walking in a loose limbo dance style. Which I'm like, what the heck's a limbo dance style? Like,
is it like relaxed? It? like Weekend at Bernie's kind of relaxed?
Yeah. and he saw a beast once more eating apricots in an orchard around Vacaville, California. Which I'm like, what are you doing in an orchard? You know, it's just like weird occurrences that he saw these creatures.
Yeah, and they're very specific locations and with very specific items nearby.
But at least, I mean, at least he didn't happen to always have a camera on him. Yeah. Like, you know, like Patterson and Gimlin.
Mm-hmm.
Gimli.
Gimli.
Yeah. No Gimlis in this one.
Yeah.
Just
elves.
Yeah. I was like, what? Yeah. Anyway. He would stay at a camp near Bear River Reservoir area of El Dorado National Forest, where he said that a lot of Bigfoot activity occurred. He said.
Yeah, he said.
In 1999, John agreed to take a skeptic named Robert Schaefer on a 5-day expedition to this camp. After leaving the site, Schaefer reported no activity, but John reported a manifestation of Bigfoot.
Manifestation?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
What do I mean by manifestation? John said that he heard Bigfoot's voice telling him, "We are not what you think we are. We are here, but we are not real, like what you think is real." And I'm like,
does he have a God complex right now? Like, is he like, in the word of God, God told me to do this, he spoke kinda in my ear?
What the but hell? Like, my thing is like, you do this after the skeptic was like, oh, yeah. I didn't see any activity. I didn't hear. Well, you didn't hear it because it was all in my head. Yeah. Bigfoot told me in my head. Like, you know.
I was told in my brain about Bigfoot. It'd be more understandable if it happened way before he even did any of this research. Like, yeah.
Where people, if it started like, some, after.
Yeah, something started to call to him literally before he even started doing research. But now the fact that all of it's only happening because he's doing research and going to these, it's like,
But not only just that, but he happens to have a skeptic come in. The skeptic didn't see anything that he would consider strange. Now all of a sudden, Bigfoot's not showing up in person, but he's showing up in his head. Like, that's what makes me think that, like,
this guy's kind of losing his mind.
Yeah, this guy just kind of went off. But
they don't believe me, and I come up with something else now.
Plus, the way that they said that, we're not real, like, what you think is real, that just doesn't even sound like something that a being from another place would say.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? I could be wrong, but along with this statement, John showed photographs with leaves and shadows that he believed as images of Bigfoot. he also was reported to see Bigfoot tracks then that turned into deer tracks, making him believe that the creatures can shapeshift, which I was like, that kind of sounds
it's interesting
to your story.
Yeah, my story.
We're not
going to
get into it.
Yeah.
But
it also almost sounds like a Wendigo, a skinwalker. So
yeah, because they shape their voices and stuff to sound like, you know. Yeah. I just don't know if he's like picking legends out of
I think he is. I think he's just combining legends to make it more believable.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
It doesn't really. Because to me, it's like, there's too many things that are popping up to where only you're getting this research that it's like.
I feel like it was like just one massive marketing ploy for his museums.
Maybe. He fully believed that Bigfoot shared a space-time origin and connection with UFOs and can come from an alternate universe by a wormhole, which we are going to get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But that explanation of Bigfoot sounds perfectly logical.
I mean, to an extent.
But
to an extent of our understanding of how the world works, yes.
Yeah, but he even had an explanation as to why we have never found any kind of physical evidence aka like bones, blood, or fur, or any like bodies.
Yeah, but supposedly we have though. I think there's a museum that actually has.
Well, this guy was like back in like 19 something. Oh, okay. So yeah, like yeah. back then they didn't have any, you know. This was kind of like, I think he died in like 2000 something. Mm. So it, like I said, it was before. Yeah. He argued that the creature is an interdimensional shapeshifter that can warp in and out of physical reality. He liked to use the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland as an example. And, you know, just in case you don't know what that means, like the Cheshire Cat, the cat would disappear before your eyes. It would almost, like, fade away and appear somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I know you know what it is, but our readers or listeners...
if you really want a good example of what the Cheshire Cat is, go watch any Alice in Wonderland movie.
Yeah. Or just type in Cheshire Cat on YouTube.
Yeah, that too.
It would fade away and appear somewhere else. He theorized that Bigfoot may be the product of tulpas, which I was like, what's a tulpa? I had to look it up. A tulpa is a concept of an object of being that is created through spiritual or mental powers. To me, it sounds like a tulpa was something that if someone thought about it and believed about it long enough, the creature became real and starting having its own thoughts and emotions, eventually becoming independent from its host. So kind of what we were just talking about, how like you think about it and you...
Yeah, it's a literal manifestation. Yeah. It also sounds like the SCP ones too, that SCP series that's all over the place. The SCP, like 192 or 001 or whatever, where it's like literally... There are some cases where it was just people thinking of these creatures and they become a reality. Mm. So.
I mean, kind of, but not really, like Slenderman, where he was just like somebody's drawing. Mm-hmm. But then the fact that like so many people caught a hold of it, that it became...
Yeah, it became a worldwide phenomenon. Yeah. And then there was murders based off of Slenderman and stuff like that, or attempted murders at least. Mm-hmm. And then all these videos started appearing on YouTube, which the videos were really unique. If you want to get creeped out a little bit, watch some Slenderman stuff. It's actually really interesting. Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about him. I mean, we kind of just did, but yeah. There's, I mean, that, I'm that's sure pretty there's much more. It. I mean, you know.
there's a whole storyline behind Slenderman, but
they also use the example when someone has a childhood friend that persists later in life. Mm. So basically, like, you know, you picture the guy being there, but. Just, I guess it's more like you just become so used to it being there that it keeps going.
Isn't that the personality disorder too? Because I'm pretty sure, as growing up, I'm pretty sure I was told growing up that if I kept my imaginary friend, that eventually I would literally lose my mind.
Well, I mean, it's like kind of like the split personality thing, but
that's weird.
You know,
anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
In an editorial for the Journal of Current Anthropology. John argued that the study of the wild man or Sasquatch was the proper study of the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Which basically, like anybody going and looking for Bigfoot, they're looking for aliens.
Oh, okay.
Scientists, not anthropologists, study of humanity. Mm. So basically, what he was trying to argue is that Bigfoot. Because, like, there's different, you know, there's, like, two different theories of what Bigfoot is. Either Bigfoot is, like, a part of humans.
There's actually three theories about what Bigfoot is, if you really think about it. Like, the stuff that we've just heard over, just in general, of the course of our lives. Like, I've heard that it was just an ape. I've also heard that it was considered our missing link between apes and humans. I also heard that there's four theories then. It's a mixed breed between an alien and a human. Or it was a breed of the missing link that the aliens tested and created us. Or theory four, it's just an alien.
Yeah. So. Well, we're more so going to talk about, like, the fact that an ether could be, like, a part of a human, like, basically a human split.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, a split off. Of humans, or it's an alien. That's really what we're going to talk about for right now. But, John believed in space alien visitations to Earth. He believed in crop circles and even creative forces that he believed sculpted rock, lava, and sand on Mars to resemble people on Earth. Hmm. So, like,
the faces on Mars that we've been seeing all over the place.
Such as Ted Kennedy, which is a U.S. senator from Massachusetts, and Tammy Faye Baker, which is a TV evangelist. I'm like, why those people? But He tried to sell the photos, which he claimed he discovered while analyzing NASA's satellite photos of the planet.
Isn't that illegal?
No.
Was that even released back then?
No, I think you can look.
Oh.
Because, okay. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But supposedly he saw those people's faces on Mars, which maybe, maybe not, who knows. He's quoted as saying, "A lot of this weirdness is right under our nose. We may not belong, or we may belong to aliens. We may be experimental animals, but I can't prove it." And that's, like, his big thing, is that he cannot prove anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's where a lot of skeptics... Sorry, I'm choked up somehow. That's where skeptics draw the line with believing in his theories. He has no proof. No physical proof. He was always in conflict with skeptics and also other Bigfoot researchers as well due to no physical evidence.
Yeah.
He would boast, like, all these big things, like, you know, like, oh, yeah. I heard it, I seen this, I seen that, but he never had any evidence.
Yeah.
John would literally fight people over his beliefs and was banned in several chat rooms for his behavior.
Wow.
Sadly, he seemed like he was a gifted liar to many people.
People who are gifted liars. I used to work with some.
There were a few people who would give him money never to see any evidence come out of it. There was a lady who gave him money for the evidence of Bigfoot, and he just kind of, like, wasted it. Oh, wow. And then she never got it back.
He's a con man.
He's
riding the Bigfoot train. That's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Okay, so now we're going to jump to, like, a different section. Back in 2015, a group of paranormal researchers and Bigfoot scientists met at a conference called the Greater New England UFO Conference, which is held in Leominster, Massachusetts, which is also known as Monsterland. It's called Monsterland because there have been so many different legends of monsters, possibly Bigfoots, that the town easily earned the nickname. I'm going to jump to the Monsterland story later on, after I finish talking about the conference. Anyway, we're going to break for a ad break.
So today's episode is going to be brought to you by Anarchy Props, which is my personal YouTube channel, or one of my many personal YouTube channels. This YouTube channel I make props from video games, movies, books, D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, for people who don't know what that means. Pretty much anything that is prop makeable, I'm planning on making props out of. I even do personal paint jobs for different things, like recently... I have a TikTok for Anarchy Props. Recently, I posted a video on this really awesome vehicle that I found at the Dollar Tree that I painted to look like a Borderlands vehicle. So you could always check out my TikTok as well. You'll see a Sunset Sarsaparilla with some moss on it and a Fallout New Vegas sign. All that I painted and handcrafted in the background of the main photo. And then my regular Anarchy Props YouTube channel, you'll see the Anarchy symbol with, I believe, a fist holding a paintbrush. If not, then it's an Anarchy symbol with some paintbrushes. You'll see what it is. I don't have too many subscribers right now. The last video I uploaded was a Fallout Nuka Grenade toothbrush holder for the bathroom because my bathroom is going to be Fallout themed. So you can check that out. Give me a subscribe. Give me a follow on TikTok. And I'll appreciate it if you guys do that.
All right, and we're back. Thank you so much, Anarchy Props, for that wonderful ad.
You're welcome. All
right, so anyway, a group of researchers met, and they came up with some theories to maybe try and dig deeper on. They were basically trying to figure out, like, the different, like, you know, how Bigfoot is either of humanoid, or is he...
Oh, yeah, they're trying to figure out...
Or is he even a ghost, kind of?
Yeah, like the Wendigo.
Yeah. So a man named William Hall pointed out that many of the signs that most people see, i.e. disappearing in a blink of an eye, fast-moving objects, and strange lights, can all be accounted for in stories about ghosts, UFOs, and Bigfoot. Like, you know, it's all three.
Yeah.
As a result of all the groups, people started to see unknown...
Unknown what?
Sorry, my writing came out weird. As a result, all of the groups of people started to see the unknown as maybe one big field. So, like, I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense, but it does. So, basically, like, you know, maybe that the ghosts, demons, anything paranormal could possibly be all one big field. Hmm. Like, Bigfoot could also be somehow, like, part of the ghost realm.
They're all related.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory broken. Bigfoot is the Jersey Devil. Bigfoot is the Wendigo.
I mean, maybe. You know, maybe, like, yeah, what they're trying to see. Like,
Bigfoot is all the spirits around the world.
Or that's the spirits all are Bigfoot.
Yeah. They all manifest into one big hairy motherfucker.
Yeah. They take all their energy.
And walk in limbo formation.
Yeah.
Like a Weekend at Bernie's. Go ahead.
William Hall was quoted as saying, "It used to be that the UFO people didn't talk to the ghost people because they were a little weird.
What the fuck?
And no one would talk to the Bigfoot people because they were just crazy." He said, "I found out it's not something we can continue to keep doing. In reality, quantum physics is leading us there." So they're basically like, hey, we're not going to mess with these people. But as, like, time's going on, they're like, maybe we're all connected somehow.
It's like when Taku's there, it's like you have the hard shell Taku people and the soft shell Taku people. They usually fight it out, but once the hard shell tastes the soft shell, they're like, it's not too bad.
Yeah, but this honestly isn't really a new idea. There were accounts that go as far back as the 1800s, and then again in 1973. But lately, what has been getting their attention more and more is the fact that Bigfoot hunters are reporting orange orbs.
Orange orbs, huh?
Yeah. They are fast-moving lights that people have mainly been associating with UFOs, but now they're being seen in the areas with Bigfoot.
Huh.
Which I'm like, maybe.
Maybe.
Bill Brock was one of the first speakers at the conference. He talked about the possibility of multidimensional portals. He even referenced the recent NASA announcement that magnetic portals may be real.
Yeah.
So, magnetic portal is a place where the magnetic field from Earth connects to the magnetic field on the sun.
Yeah, I've actually read about that on Facebook. Yeah.
I also told you a little bit about it, like, mm-hmm. you know, with the research. Mm-hmm. And that creates an uninterrupted path leading from our own planet to the sun's atmosphere, 93 million miles away. Observations by NASA's Themis spacecraft and Europe's cluster probe suggest that these magnetic portals open and close dozens of times a day. They are typically a few tens of thousands of kilometers away from Earth, so we won't even really see it.
Mm-hmm.
Most portals are small and short-lived, while others are huge and sustained, so they last like a really long time. In 2014, NASA planned a mission to go study the phenomena. Not sure if they did or not. I didn't have a chance to look that far into it.
Well, I know. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you again. But I know recently what I've been seeing on. I know you can't really trust everything that you see on Facebook, that's one of my main sources of where I get a lot of my information about these, like, you know, these alien sightings, stuff like mm-hmm. that. And I think recently they had literally found a stone archway that resembles the archways from I think the movie is called Stargate, or the series is called Stargate. Mm-hmm. And it resembles a portal of some kind, and it has radiation in it. Not in it, but like where the stone around area it. Yeah, like around it. And I thought that was really interesting, because if that's the case, then if that is actually real and it's not just some bullshit that's made up, then we were literally a highly advanced civilization way, way back in the day, and something fucked all of us over.
Yeah.
And then put us where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are like, this is only a connection between the Earth and the sun. And four crafts will spread out and go surround the portal to observe how they work. This article I was reading from like 2012, so I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah.
I think at the time the OG article was written, they had no idea about how to go finding these portals. But a man named Jack Scudder found ways to know when the portals show up. The portals form from the process of magnetic reconnection. The meeting of the lines from when the sun and the earth crisscross and join to create openings. So, if we're getting portals from the earth to the sun, who knows if we're if there are other portals out there that are connecting from, like, earth to Mars.
Or that's what I'm saying. That's what the portals that I had mentioned, pretty much. I mean,
these aren't, like you were saying, like, stone structures.
Yeah.
These are literally just, like...
out in space kind of portals.
They're invisible. Yeah.
Invisible. All right.
The only way that you can tell, that you can tell is by the crisscross of knowing when the sun and the earth's magnetic fields are going to crisscross.
It's got me wondering, I'm pretty sure this has already been attempted, but it's got me wondering if you get, like, really powerful magnets and you, like, put them in a circle around each other, if you walk through it, if you'll teleport to another dimension.
I don't think that's how that works, babe.
You never know.
I don't know, man.
You never know.
All right. So, going back to the 2015 conference, Bill Penning, who is another Bigfoot researcher, believes that it is possible that the mysterious orbs are transporter beams. It is one of his first Bigfoot encounters that he saw something large in the woods, only for it to disappear in seconds.
Interesting.
Which is crazy, because it's like something huge, and then it's gone. In addition, he found a set of tracks that seemed to appear behind a deer really quickly, caught the deer, and then they both disappeared. Which, once again, no evidence, but at the same time, that's like...
That's odd.
Yeah.
Well, that's almost like the... Did I talk about that experience in a previous episode?
No, we haven't talked about it yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-mm.
Maybe next episode or the following, you know, an episode soon, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And then they both disappeared. The reason why they say that they disappeared, it means that both tracks kind of just, like, lifted up and were gone.
Hmm.
So, either, like, depending on what was running behind it, something got the deer, and then, like, a bird came and got them.
A bird came and got both of them.
Like, yeah, or
it's the pterodactyls. The pterodactyls that everyone think are still alive, but we just don't see them.
Yeah, or they just disappeared, went through a portal.
Yeah.
If this whole interdimensional theory is true and aliens may be closely related to Bigfoot, it could explain the biggest question that was unanswered. Where are all the Bigfoot bodies? Which, you know, that's what that John guy was asking too.
Yeah.
And also, where are the animal carcasses that they ate? Because obviously they need something if they're here.
Yeah.
Brock.
Unless they're eating the bones too, which a lot of people do. That could be a thing.
There is a theory that I was just going to say that's kind of along those lines.
Oh, okay.
Brock, the guy who brought up the portals, wasn't fully convinced. He believes in the orbs, and he believes that the Bigfoot are the prehistoric rivals of humans.
Yeah.
The Neanderthals, which I thought Neanderthals were just, like, earlier, like, weird way of putting it, but the earlier renditions of humans.
They have several names. They're all different species of man, pretty much, quote unquote.
Yeah, and that's technically what it is. But the definition of Neanderthal is an extinct species or subspecies of archaic humans who lived in Eurasia until about 40,000 years ago. They most likely went extinct due to assimilation into modern genome, a great climate change, disease, or a combination of all these factors.
Mm.
But what if they aren't fully extinct?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't know if it actually is fully extinct. Like, we've only, I think, explored, like, 20% of the world's ocean. Even 20% of the world's forests. Like,
well, I think we're pretty... I feel personally I could be completely wrong that we've going through our forest pretty well. Plus, we're, like, constantly destroying it.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, then, once again, like, because they're even, all the time, they're discovering new species in areas that they never actually explored to begin with. Like,
yeah.
So, you never know.
So, I guess that's true.
Like, we have not explored all of our own environment, which we should, because we'd probably find a lot out about what we're trying to figure out by doing that. But at the same time, humans are stupid, and they feel like they have to destroy everything to find any proof of anything. So.
Hmm. Brock is quoted as saying, "It is a known fact that human beings and Neanderthals were battling pretty heavy 3,500 years ago. He believes that they split, he said they split at that time and went into the woods." Sorry, I got confused.
It's almost like the whole mermaid thing, where people think that that mermaids are also humans, and we just happened to, like, they didn't want to live on land, and so we did. Went so
they went to the water.
Yeah, they went to the water, and we adapted to stay on land. It's the same theory.
Yeah, and under Brock's theory, Neanderthals developed parallel to human beings. While we were learning technology, they were learning how to completely hide in the forest.
we're all trying to figure that out now.
Yeah, now just we're disappear. Wanting to go
yeah, into now, the forest. Yeah, and now we're wanting to go in, and now there's more and more evidence of the other ones. We're switching roles.
Mm-hmm. And he believes that this could also answer the questions as to why these creatures are so hard to find. Is that, you know, tens of thousands of years of camouflage techniques, you get pretty good at hide and seek.
Yeah, that and the more children you have or whatever, they're going to adapt to certain situations. That's why, like, some animals evolution. Are yeah evolution. That's why some animals are more adapt to certain areas than they are in other areas. Like, you can't put a sea bearing fish in river water because it'll die. It'll suffocate. And you can't put a river fish in seawater because it'll die. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, because it would be salt water versus fresh water.
Yeah.
But there would still be bodies. Like, yeah, you should still. But he also has a theory on that.
Cannibalism.
Yes.
There we go.
Brock believes that they are cannibals. He said they fed themselves, and two, they dispose of any evidence of their existence. And to me personally, that kind of seems a little excusey. Like, he's coming up with,
they ate the bones. They ate the bones. That's what happened. There's no feces from anything, but they ate the bones.
Like, it's kind of like it's similar to John, where he's like coming up with stuff as people ask questions. But it also, it's also kind of like a cool theory to think about.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you know, that they adapted.
It's almost like the 13th Warrior movie that we watched not too long ago. When they were cannibals, they were eating, they were taking their dead and literally eating them and then using their bones to build shit.
That's true. Now, this conference took place in Leominster, Massachusetts, and that's a long way from Washington State in California, where a lot of the Bigfoot sightings began. But Leominster, as I said, is also known as Monsterland for a reason. Some of the legends, such as the one I'm about to tell you now, dates back to as early as in the 1950s, which is, I think, around the same time as the footprints in California were found. Hmm. Like, those first ones that supposedly were a hoax.
Yeah.
The legend talks about a man who entered a bar on a warm summer night. He was visibly agitated, and when the manager of the bar asked him what was wrong, he was quoted as saying, "I just seen a terrifying monster on the old mill road near the railroad bridge." He even went as far to make the manager call the police to investigate.
Wow.
The manager made the phone call, and soon the police were on their way. But the man said he just couldn't wait any longer and decided to go hunt and kill the beast himself and bring the body back as proof. And then he left. When the police did arrive, the manager told them that he went off on his own. So they went to the old mill road and found the man's car parked by the side of the road, lights still on. No one inside. Since the woods were really dark, and now there was a possibility of a madman loose, not to mention the beast that he was looking for, the police decided to stay out of the woods and wait for the man to hopefully return. They waited and waited, but he never returned. Wow. Now, part of me is like,
they thought it was going to be a Rambo situation.
Part of me is like, you didn't really do your due diligence and looking for him. But at
you
same
didn't even
time,
put out a missing persons report.
Or or even get a helicopter to maybe, like, you know.
Well, this is the 50s. I don't know if helicopters were.
Yeah, because, like, wasn't World War II?
World
War II was 1940. Right.
They didn't have the scanning technology that they have now.
But
so they
maybe
really
a light?
Yeah, maybe. But
I don't know. But I don't know. Just go look for him a little bit.
Yeah,
or call
at least
to
try.
Him. Yeah, like, they were just like, nah, man, we ain't going in there.
It's almost like that. It's almost like that video that I've seen on. It was like the TikTok videos that are posted on Facebook. It was these two cops. They're parked at a cemetery because I guess they got a call. There was some sort of weird disturbance
weird
at the cemetery. They both got out of the car with their uniforms on and everything, started shining flashlights all over the place, and then they just hear this massive scream in the background, and they get right the fuck out of there, get back in their car,
them.
And leave. Neither do I.
This is something I don't blame. And plus, like, you don't know what's going on with the guy. Like, is he just luring them into the woods to kill them? Yeah. Or, you know, is he insane? There's so many fucking reasons. And then, does he have a gun?
Yeah.
Because I don't...
If he's going to bring back the body, yeah, he'd have to. Yeah.
So, like, you also got to worry about that. So, I can definitely, like... I just thought it was funny. Like, they didn't even try going to them woods. After that, the area of Leominster was nicknamed Monsterland. People began to report seeing creepy ape-like creatures and finding large humanoid footprints on the ground. Hmm. Others said that their car batteries would die mysteriously in that area, which that's random to me. Yeah. But also, on June 27th, 2010, a man and a woman named Bill and Julie Penning took a hike in those woods. As they walked towards a local reservoir that they wanted to get to, they heard something moving around in the trees near the trail. It sounded like a large animal, but they assumed that it was just a deer, even though they had a weird feeling. They kept walking until they realized that they were lost, so they turned around, and when they got back to where they had heard the animal, they found humanoid footprints deep in the mud. They got that creepy feeling again and decided to leave the area. They said that they felt disoriented and had trouble getting out of the woods. But they actually went back and got a cast of the footprint. Like, after they got out, they grabbed, you know.
Yeah, that's what happens when you panic when you're in the woods. You lose yourself. And you have no idea what you're doing. Then you need to center yourself before you get out.
Yeah, and you're also feeling, like, that really bad feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you know.
You're literally, your whole entire body is in flight
mode. It shuts down. Yeah. So, is there a Bigfoot in those woods? One will never know.
The world may never know.
Basically. Another area that has a lot of Bigfoot cases is actually Pennsylvania. Which really? Is really close to us, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The investigators that live there believe that Bigfoot may not be flesh and blood creature. They are They are quoted as saying, "It's almost as if someone or something put him down on the ground and then picks him right back up. Is it possible for a flesh and blood? Is that possible for a flesh and blood animal to further the argument of whether his flesh or?" I can't write. To further the argument of whether it's flesh or blood or not, is the incident of where Bigfoot and a UFO have been seen in the same area. One occurrence happened in the countryside near Uniontown on October 5th, 1973, which I noticed this. There's a lot of Octobers going on.
It's Halloween.
I don't know what that means. Yeah, I didn't think about that, but I'm going to say a lot of
spooky shit towards October.
Yeah, a lot of October is going on.
I think the pagans are just mad at everybody, so now the ghosts of the pagans are just causing all kinds of issues.
Everyone's
shut down.
Maybe. When witnesses saw a glowing object in the sky that landed in a nearby pasture, and two Bigfoot creatures come out of the woods.
Oh, wow.
There was also another one of a lady who saw a Bigfoot on her front porch and shot it. But the creature ran away. It's like, good for that lady. Just shoot. Could have been a person, but she's just like...
I got a gun!
Yeah.
Shoots him in the chest. That was a warning shot!
Yeah. He's like, nah, I'm good. Here are a few more just like one of the reported cases of seeing Bigfoot. So, like, the others. In 1888... A cattleman describes an encounter with natives in Humboldt County, California. They led him to a cave where he saw a huge humanoid creature covered in long, shiny black fur. Hmm. Which the first time that it's labeled as, like, long and shiny.
Yeah.
Usually it's, like, all nasty or whatever. Yeah. With no neck, sitting cross-legged. One of the natives told him three of these crazy bears... had been cast out of a small moon that dropped from the sky and landed. The moon then went back up into the air. Not really sure what happened after that. But that's pretty interesting because it could just be a story that somebody came up with. But the fact that they were calling it like a crazy bear, which is what we usually see are bears. Yeah. You know.
And the fact that they call a UFO a small moon, which is, you know, light up in the sky.
Yeah.
And if the moon is there, you're going to think that's a part of the moon if you have no idea what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the moon's falling.
Yeah. But I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Another story is about a woman named Miss Rifa Heitzfeld and her son. In 1973, in October, at 2 a.m., Rifa rose from her bed to get a drink, only to notice strange lights coming from a nearby parking lot. When she went to her window, she saw a huge cone of light shaped like a big umbrella, about 7 foot.
It's the Umbrella Corpse. Resident Evil.
Oh no, that's Raccoon City. Never mind.
Well, yeah, Raccoon City is still Resident Evil.
Yeah, but I thought it was called like Raccoon Corporation. No, like that's not what it is. Yeah, so it's a big umbrella, about 7 feet in diameter. Close to this light, she saw a grayish like creature, ape like creature with a large angled snout, no neck, and a big waist. Weird how people are describing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, big old belly, you know?
It was a big old fat necklace hair man.
Yeah. Moving slowly, the ape-like thing moved to the light, only for both things to disappear. So with all of these stories, hypotheses, and theories, I've placed in front of you, I wanted to end this episode with a quote from one of the scientists named Fred Saluga.
Let me see. How's it spelled? Fred Saluga.
Saluga?
Yeah.
Sorry, Fred. he said, until we find out more about what they are, there are no experts.
I mean, he's got a point.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're always learning stuff. It's always something different, too. It's not, like, you know, stuff that we already knew.
Yep.
And, like, depending on the cases and location, there people are describing them differently, like the Bigfoot differently. Because, like, that's the first time we ever heard of anything about, like, no neck, you know?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And then, like, if it is an alien, then that's a completely different description of an alien as well. Which could just be another species of alien, honestly, but whatever. Because you got the gray men, you know? Yeah. You got the gray men, now you have the no-neck men that are really hairy.
Yeah, like, the hairy, yeah.
The hairy no-neck men.
So what's your theory on what all this stuff is?
Well, from what I've heard a lot of times, it feels like, once again, a lot of made-up stories to try and just convince the media. Like, this guy just happened to own some museums, and then once that Bigfoot phenomenon became a thing, he hopped on the train automatically, and like, oh, I'm hearing it in my head, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. You know, I don't have any proof, but, you know, you go against me, I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Yeah.
He was really trying to convince people that he knew what he was talking about.
And that's, like, the sad part about all of these stories, is that, like, once, like, Bigfoot got real, or, you know, once it became really, like, famous or, like, well-known, there were a lot of people, con men, like, you know, 1940s, 1950s are big for that. There were a shit ton of con men who were, like, coming out of the woodwork saying, like, oh, yeah, I've seen that. Oh, yeah, I know all about that, you know, and it's just almost like
scalpers now, when, like, with the 12-foot skeleton for Halloween for Home Depot, when that came out. It wasn't ever going to be released again. It was, like, just that one time. And everyone's like, oh, I gotta get it. You know what I mean? I gotta get it. And then I'm going to sell it for three times the amount later.
Yep.
It's the same brand of people. It's the same as that brand of people. Just back in the day.
They take a story that's well-known, or they take something that's well-known.
And then they
have to jack it up and make it, either make money off of it or just become famous off of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's just convenient that he just happened to own museums. And, like, with the other ones, like, I feel like the dude who came into the bar, I forget what his name is, but
he doesn't have a name. It's just a legend.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's just a legend then, because that could just be something that somebody made up.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, like, oh, he just happened to not show up again. And, like, they could have said that the cops went there, but if there's never actually any reports of the cops actually showing up and, like, a reports of a car, I'm pretty sure they would have filed a missing persons report. They would have had to.
Yeah, like, and all that would be evidence. Yeah. But it happened back in the 1950s.
Yeah, I know, but so, still, like, there's still missing persons reports, you know? There's plenty of paranormal houses back in the 1950s that are recorded.
Yeah,
that,
like, they're still here today.
Yeah, there's no reason why you wouldn't have that as an actual evident thing, you know? It just seems like a lot of bullshittery to me. Like, there's no... every single time, nobody has proof, ever, of any of it.
It's extremely hard to find accurate, like, cases.
Yeah.
Like, even the Patterson-Gimlin films. Like, that's the most well-known film of Bigfoot, but even that still has, like, you know,
it's convenient.
People jumping out of the blue, like, oh, hey, I was the one in the suit.
Yeah.
Or, oh, hey, I was the one that made the suit. Yeah. So it's hard to even distinguish if that's real or not.
I'm sure if it did turn out to be real, that's probably just a government ploy just to make people think it's not real. They're like, let's confuse them. Okay, there's this evidence out. Let's confuse them. Make them think it's not real so we can go back to our normal lives and not have to worry about massive panic. But still.
The FBI even helped with some cases on Bigfoot, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, there was one guy that found, like, fur that he believed was Bigfoot. So he sent it in to the FBI to get it tested. And they came back saying that it was just deer fur.
Wow.
But it was like, did they test it?
Probably not.
You know. Because, like... bless you.
Thank you.
But, like, they had, you know, because it's like... We all know that the FBI and stuff like that lies.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah.
So did they lie to, like, hide this? Was it, like, a government...
Governmental secret.
Yeah, a governmental secret or even a governmental, like, experiment gone wrong.
Yeah. I mean...
Because, there's that possibility, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of stories about the military testing on humans, like, to try and make, like, the ultimate diver, like, mixing their genetics with, like, seals and walruses and stuff like that. All kinds of stuff like that. So it could have just been... It might not have been a failed experiment. It might have been a successful experiment. And they're just trying to keep it hidden. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like.
We'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know. It's just one of those things, like, I do believe Bigfoot is a thing. I do believe it is out there. But every time I hear a story of Bigfoot, it makes me want to punch that person in the face. Because it's like, why? Why are you coming up with all this crap that you have no idea? Like, but you're just saying this stuff. If it's a real story. If it is a real story, then... Like, my mom's a little bit more believable because... I mean, I guess I would have to believe her because she's my mom, but...
Yeah, exactly.
But still, like, it's just weird that these people, like, try and say that they've seen these things without any evidence. You know what I mean? It's just odd for me. It's just
hard because, like, you want to believe the researchers, but to a certain extent...
It seems overplayed.
When they do find evidence, like that John guy... Yeah. When he all of a sudden decides to take that journey to go look for Bigfoot, and he just happens to stumble across it while he's driving. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you want to believe him, but at the same time, it's like, how convenient?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And like I was saying, like even when my mom was younger, when she didn't have the experience, Bigfoot was well known, yeah, but she didn't go looking for Bigfoot. Yeah. It just showed up. And she didn't hop on the train. She was literally fucking terrified of what she's seen. And she didn't tell anybody about it. Like, the only person she told was me, some friends, and some family. She didn't go to the media.
Some friends.
Like, she didn't try to become famous off of seeing it. You know what I mean? So it makes it a little bit more believable when it's like that. Because you're not going there specifically for fame. You're not doing it so people know your name.
But then, at the same time, the researchers that are at that camp, you have to believe them because that's what they're doing. I mean, you know, they come up with evidence. But, I don't know. It's definitely... something hard for people to decide whether it's true or not because, you know, it's either people faking it to get fame or they're really trying and they are getting evidence.
And they are getting, nobody believes them because everyone thinks they're doing it for fame, which is understandable because like, that's why I feel like it's a governmental media ploy to confuse people to make them severely think that it's all fake when it is actually a reality.
Yep.
And they're doing it on purpose to stir them away from finding more evidence of what they did or what is a possibility of something. Like the whole alien thing with the whole Roswell situation. Yeah. Like they were just saying, oh,
Area 51.
They were just saying, oh, it was just a weather balloon. You know, it was nothing, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then people were finding more and more evidence. It's like, oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. Stop it. You better stop. You better not. Like,
you better not. Especially when, you know, the government starts releasing their old files, and it actually has, like, proof that they were trying to research it themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, why not let us research more?
Well, because they don't want mass panic, that's why. They want to figure it out for themselves. They figured if it gets into the wrong hands...
Then they're going to lock it away.
But they figure if it gets into the wrong hands, it could be bad, and that just gives us more reason to rise up against them. You know what I mean? It's all about control. That's all it is. That's literally control.
That's
all anything ever is. Yeah. It's all about control. Like, you can control the entire world. Like, I'm pretty sure the government would be able to control the entire world by coming up, most of the world anyway, with coming up with another likely story of some sort of creature. And there'd be a lot of people that would believe them if they make it believable. Because it's the government.
Yeah. I mean, all you need is, like, one person to see something and to document it somehow. And then everybody believes it.
Yeah. Like, if the government were to release a Bigfoot sex tape right now, everyone would swear up and down that Bigfoot was real.
Well, who's he having sex with, though?
Female Sasquatch. I have no idea. Man.
Well, that one from the Patterson Gimlin was a...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, guys. We're just rambling at this point.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think on TikTok or YouTube. Spotify doesn't have any comments, or else I'd say there.
Yeah.
But eventually we're going to be uploading this to YouTube, so go comment what you think.
Yeah, we're not recording anything just yet because it's like, right now we're literally just sitting on a sofa.
Yeah.
We don't have a professional podcast setup. We have a tiny little mic attached to a phone.
Yeah. Hopefully once this stuff gets rolling, we'll...
And luckily, the mic is, it's pretty decent for quality. I mean, you guys...
Yeah, hopefully you guys like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like it. I'm also surprised. Good for when, surprise for what?
Surprise at how, like, good quality it is.
Oh, yeah. It's also good for Twitch streaming, too, when I was doing Twitch a while ago. Which, by the way, Ramshead Gaming, if you ever want to follow me on Twitch, I haven't done a video in a very long time, but I'll put an ad in another video for that later. But yeah, the mic, it just sounds really good. I love the mic. Quit being tired.
I can't. It's 6:30. We're already late.
Yeah, it's past our bedtime. What are we, 90? All right, guys.
I feel like it, man.
All right, we will see you guys in the next episode.
Yep, and yeah, that's all we got to say. I was going to say something else, but I don't know what. So, see you guys later.
See ya.